that bitch.
Yeah. And welcome back, bitches, to the Real Bitch of Bravo with Thea D'Souza, who has been just giving us all the tea. I mean, from even though I know you've inadvertently given us the tea from, you know, Orange County all the way till Summer House, I am like so excited for this. From our break, brought to you by Sandbar 66. Thank you, Dave. Let's get into the Real Housewives of New York, because I know that's your favorite franchise. We got to start with your favorite franchise. It is slowly but surely becoming my favorite franchise because of Jenna Lyons, because she is the moment. She is the everything. I don't know if you agree with this, if you disagree with this. I would love to know your thoughts on Jenna. You are living in Jersey, but you are, to me, you're a New Yorker. Where your resume of where you're from and where you've lived, you are a New Yorker.
No, 100%. I'm a New Yorker, and I'm obsessed with Jenna Lyons. I mean, I've known of her for years, obviously. J.Crew, oh, obviously. She was just completely, when I lived in New York, and I was, you know, friends with all the people that worked there, so I knew all about her. So I've always been obsessed, and the fact, and when I heard she was coming on the show, I couldn't believe it, because it just seemed so antithetical to her kind of personality. And that's why we love it, I think. I think we love it because she's like completely a square peg in a round hole. And yes, we're tired. I think we're all tired of the same housewives doing the same things. And it's like, thank God this person. I mean, I feel bad because I feel like she's probably really, really, really uncomfortable. But I'm loving it. I feel like she's so honest. And I don't know. I'm obsessed with her, too. I'm obsessed with all of them, actually.
So I'm obsessed with maybe like a handful of them. And there's two of them that I am not the hugest fan of. Who are you not the hugest fan of on The Real Housewives of New York, the new cast?
I'm not liking Psy, and I'm not 100% into Jessel.
We are like two, like we are like two minds.
We're too similar. We're too similar. It's not fun to listen to a podcast.
I know. Agree. This is the most boring podcast on the planet because we totally agree.
I mean, Jessel, this is the first episode, the last episode, the first episode. I felt something for her. Up until then, I just thought she was just posturing. And I mean, I felt a little bit, but not really. No, she's annoying. And Psy, okay, I really did tear up a little bit at a backstory, but both of them are just, they seem like negative, like kind of like sycophantic people that just suck up other people. I don't know. They like just seem to like be like the energy vampires or something. Why don't we like them? I don't know.
You know what? So for me, the reason why I don't like Psy is because I'm not saying I grew up poor, because where I'm from, you can't say that. When you grew up in Manhattan Beach in California, you can't say that you grew up poor.
No.
It's a misnomer. But I did. I grew up with a single mother. I grew up like, I remember there was a summer, or sorry, there was a Christmas where my mom literally gave us one gift. My gift was a book. And I read that thing cover to cover, multiple times, sideways. And I love the Dollar Tree. So for me, the Dollar Tree is a treat. I don't care if your tree comes from the Dollar Tree. That is a treat for me. I love going to the Dollar Tree, the dollar store, whatever you want to call it. I don't think that that's really a sign of poverty, to be honest with you. I don't really relate with size, you know, bouginess as well when you come from such a poor environment.
Right.
Now with Jessel, her story is just combobulated. It's just, as we saw on last week's and this week's episode, it's just, you know, it's not her story. She's talking about her family. She's talking about where they're from, their trials, their tribulations. And then she's talking about her being like, oh, I had to shed paper and move boxes for, you know, a few amount of months during my internship. Boo fucking
her sob story is BS. And yes, I hate that. I don't understand why she wants to have a sob story. It's like, just own the fact that you went to a very expensive school, that there's for sure money somewhere in your in life. I don't want to judge you for it, but I don't know why she's trying to act like she's just some, like, you know, waif immigrant that, like, you know, homeless, whatever, not homeless, but, you know, countryless.
Well, her uncles were homeless or whatever, and that's that's neither here nor there. And I cannot sit there and throw stones because, like, my family comes from a very well, my mother's side comes from a very wealthy side. My mother is, they brought basketball to the country, into Korea. So, like, I get where she's coming from as far as, like, the wealth is concerned. But, like, be honest. Just be honest about your story. Be honest about where you came from. Be honest that, you know what, I came from money, or I come from an upper middle class family. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to come from poverty in order to be relevant. You don't. We are going to relate to you regardless of where you came from. Right. And that, those are the great stories. You don't have to be trailer park trash. You don't have to be from, you know, Nicaragua or from, like, the nice part of Africa. You know, whatever.
She seems like she's ashamed of having a little bit of privilege and of not having the sob stories the other women have, which it's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, embrace that. Honestly, she should be looking a little bit more to in the recent times when she's to look at struggle, because it feels like her marriage is struggling. It feels like there are things in her life that aren't perfect. And that's what I'm more interested in. You know, it's like you could have a perfectly privileged upbringing and have a very interesting life. But right now her life seems like it's in trouble to me from the outside.
No, absolutely. I think actually there is a line in Sex and the City that, like, puts it to a T. Miranda and Carrie are on a stoop and they talk about, is it as easy as my father left me and therefore, like, I'm messed up about men? She's like, Miranda's character is like, you know what? My dad came home every single day at, like, on the dot at 5 o'clock at night. I'm still messed up about men.
Exactly.
Crapshoot. So, you know, it has nothing to do with you growing up. Trust me, people with money, they grow up so messed up. People without money grow up messed up. You are going to grow up messed up regardless of your socioeconomic status.
Do you not find it strange that she kept that secret from her mom for so long? I find it so, they're so close. I couldn't even imagine. They're so close. And then her not bringing up this, because I did obviously IVF journey that was a harrowing years of whatever. And I can imagine just keeping that to myself. It's strange. That was like a strange thing to me.
Which, I mean, God bless you. Like, there are more women that, especially if you're in a very prevalent area, that, like, they should tell their stories about IVF. It is just harrowing what people go through. I took a few weeks off of this podcast and a few weeks off of my other podcast that I produce. This is me coming out. This is the grapefruit juice coming out on me. I had a miscarriage.
Recently.
Yeah.
Recently. Do you have other kids? Was this your first pregnancy?
This was my second pregnancy. So unfortunately I did have a, and I've told my mom this, so I guess I can just tell the world this. I had an abortion when I was in my mid 30s. I was like, you know what? I'm a career woman. This isn't my time, whatever. And then, so I had an abortion. And then this second one was my boyfriend and I were actually trying to have children. And I, sorry, this is really, really hard for me to say this on the pod. Again, I this is why I took time off of the podcast and just life in general. And I had a miscarriage. I'm 42 and I've alleviated to my age and just made it so that, like, nobody knows what my age is or anything like that. But I'm 42 years old. I was 41 when I had this miscarriage. And I just, you know, it happens, unfortunately, with women in their 40s. It's very prevalent. And I'm so grateful for the community that reached out to me, that tons of women that are in actually their mid to late 30s and women that were in their 40s as well reached out to me and were like, we all have had it. We're really sorry for the loss. Keep trucking. You're going to be great. I'm so grateful for that community, because, like, without that community, I would be lost. I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I probably would be actually, like, suicidal, to be honest with you.
Well, sorry. I mean, and there's nothing more personally painful to a woman than this journey, ups and downs. And I'm sure that you've talked to many, many, many people with rainbow babies and many people for whom it's worked out. And so it's just the female reproductive system is such a mystery. You have no idea. So many things have to line up perfectly, and they didn't for you, but you know, it's definitely.
But you know, like you said, with the rainbow baby, for a lot of those women that are like, you know, in their 20s listening to this, rainbow baby is just that baby that, you know, you have at the end of the rainbow, and it just wasn't your child. Oh my God.
I'm so sorry. I know.
I'm sorry. I'm such like a girl. I'm like not a girly girl. I'm like one of those girls that like, I don't cry at stuff. I fucking hate it. I hate crying. But oh my God. Okay. Your rainbow baby is the baby that you're not supposed to have.
Right.
Your rainbow baby is the baby that you're not supposed to have. It's just meant to be in your. Like, it's supposed to be meant for God. And it's just really hard because, like, I love my boyfriend, and he's been very supportive, and he's been amazing in the last, like, 2 months. He's been so incredible. You should be an interviewer.
Oh my God. Thank God you have a support system. Thank God you have to understand. Everyone needs to understand. I remember Martha Stewart's daughter did a tour about how everybody needs to understand the cliff that is the reproductive system after 40. So you are just on that cliff. That's what happened. But, you know, obviously there was a reason, and you're strong, and you took time off, and you understood that this was a serious thing, and now you're back. And it's okay to cry about it.
I'm gonna walk away from this really quick. We're gonna take a really quick break. I have to take a really quick break from this, and then I'll just see you and listen. I need a moment.
Of course.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we're back after that emotional on my part. Apologize ahead of time, listeners and everybody. That is a real bitch of Bravo fan, from Thea D'Souza, who just. You know what? I feel like, to be honest with you, Thea, like I needed to get that out. I think that was like a very therapeutic podcast session.
No, so. I'm glad you did. You need to talk about it. Everybody needs to hear about it. These are not secrets. These are part of our lives. You're a woman. So I think it's amazing that you were able to emote like that. So I'm here for you.
I mean, and you got me to that real place, and I'm so grateful for that, because I hid that for a very long time. So at least for the last like 3 or 4 months, I've been hiding that. So I'm very grateful for that. Thank you for doing that for me. I think I needed to get that on air, because I'd been hiding that off air for a while. Grateful that you're doing that. And I know you have your own journey, and that every girl has her own journey. Every woman has her own journey on that one too. But
it's important for us to hear you and what you're going through too. And people who listen to you, because you're such a lovely person, and they want to know you and know what you're going through, good and bad.
Yeah. You're just such a beautiful human being in the first place. I'm so grateful to have you on here. Guys, let's get to the real purpose of why we're really here. Let's bitch about Bravo and go back to the Real Housewives of New York, the new cast, her new favorite cast. In this week's episode, we head to the girls heading to dinner. Luba brings up that Africa is paradise. Obviously, we don't know Africa like Uba knows Africa. She brings up the wife swap comment that Bryn made, and that this was her and her husband wouldn't be okay. That if she was put into Aaron's spot, she wouldn't feel okay with this. What are your thoughts as far as like what went down with this? Because like so I know this is an unpopular comment, and I feel like maybe you might be on this
same. Yeah, on the same. I don't fault Brynn at all. Come on. She's funny. It wouldn't bother me. Would it bother you?
Oh, my God. Thank God we disagree on something.
Thank God. I'm 100%. Bother you.
I am 100% on Aaron's side. Fuck Brynn. Stop with the flirting. Like, this is like Heather Dubrow being like Heather Dubrow. Like, you're Heather Dubrow, so it's okay for you to be like flirty and whatever. Brynn, it's okay for you to be flirty and 30 and thriving, whatever. Like, stop flirting. Like,
it was the wrong place, wrong time. However, yes. Do you really think that Brynn, like, I mean, I guess she does call him that, you know, whatever.
Abe the babe.
So, but do you think she really like wanted, I guess probably he's rich, she bought her that beautiful ring. Maybe she was kind of like lusting after him. I don't know.
I mean, it's not a $60,000 ring like Lisa Barlow, but it's
Lisa Barlow dropped down the toilet.
Yeah, dropped into a bunch of tampons. But you know, it's still her husband, and it's still her significant other. And even though I don't have the ring and I don't have the things and I don't have like all the stuff that comes with the title or whatever of wife, if somebody did that to my guy, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, seriously, you're like literally doing this in front of me. Like, I don't care if this is supposed to be part of your persona and like part of your thing. Like, if you're really truly my friend, you would not be doing this to me. And that's just me. But I don't approve of Brynn's behavior when it comes to the flirting. I think Brynn on the other side is a great character for Roni. And I've said that tenfold. I love Brynn. I love what she brings to the table. I love what she brings to everything that comes with Real Housewives of New York. On the other hand, I do not like what she brings as far as the flirting is concerned.
So funny. I mean, I guess you're right. It's a respect thing. So it's humiliating to be on a television show and have a scene where someone flirts with your husband in a way. So it's bad. It's respect thing, even if you don't think she's actually wants to like have sex with your husband. I just see Brynn, like you brought up Sex and the City, and I feel like the show is good to me because there are archetypes and she's the Samantha archetype to me. So it's like kind of in keeping with her to be body and to be, you know, a little bit less conservative than Aaron, for instance. So
who is, by the way, the youngest person on the cast?
Aaron, I know, which is crazy. Isn't that crazy?
It is, but if you're from New York and if you've lived in, well, I should say if you're from New York, I shouldn't say if you've lived there, because living there and being from there are two totally separate things. But if you are from New York, an Aaron is normal in New York.
Oh, honey.
Like you can be a 20-something-year-old and be Aaron. Mm-hmm. Versus you can be a 40-year-old and be me in California or be a Brynn in California, you know? So I think it's all in context as well, right? Like she did this during her, the whole entire point was that she did this during her vow renewal. She did this during a very inappropriate time where she was in front of her kids, she was in front of her family, she was in front of a bunch of people that really, truly meant something to her, and she's bringing this to the forefront. That being said, by the way, these housewives need to stop doing this. Stop bringing these bitches to really important events.
I know. Well, how it works behind the scenes is everybody wants camera time. And in order to have camera time, you have to have these events. So you don't have a choice when you're filming. Like I was saying about Lindsay and Carl, you know, they want you to have the big events on there. They want the show to look good, and they don't want a bunch of boring going out to copy. So you don't have a choice. It's part of your job to have these events and have these people there. And, you know, to be fair, Aaron, I'm sure expected them all to act in accordance with the event, and
because this is New York.
I know it is New York. I don't know. I love Brynn because I think she's funny, and I actually think she's very smart, and I've had a lot of interactions with her behind the scenes, and I feel like she's very sharp, and I just think she's amazing. But I don't know, as a person, I'm saying, like, I think she's a good addition to the cast. But you know what's funny, you know how we were talking about how everybody told me they love Kyle at BravoCon? Another thing that I'm picking up on from being outside of the Instagram bubble and talking about Bravo because of my book, people are not getting the Roni, the new Roni. They're not into it.
So my initial co-host, Paul David, love him to pieces, is not getting Roni. It's just not their jam. It's not that nitty gritty.
It's very subtle. It's not these huge screaming. It's very subtle. It's very as you know, New York, and even you being like just a left or a right coaster, we think quicker, we speak quicker. I don't know what it is, just cosmopolitan that way, not in the middle of the country where things move a little slower. So we get it. We get the cadence, we pick up on stuff, but I'm definitely noticing people that aren't as quick and sharp are not, they're like, what? I can't, 5 minutes in the show, they're like, what are these women even talking about? And they're not getting it. So I'm worried about that.
It's unfortunate. And I don't want to point out like certain like demographics or whatever, but they're just certain demographics they're not really reaching out to. It's just not their jam. It's not their thing. It's like more major, it's more major markets, right? Like more major markets are flocking to this franchise. Which is interesting because I thought that that's where they would go initially with the initial cast, with the Bethany and the Jill Zarin and the Ramona Singer. Like, that's where I thought that like this was going
to
go.
But they appealed to the broader audience because they are broader. So they kind of look past the smart New Yorker thing to get to the fact that they were like hot messes, you know?
I don't know. Also, like, I will say this too. That cast was older. This cast is way younger.
You're right.
So
getting like such a warm kind of reception on it, not on my page. My page is all these like awesome, smart, like I love my followers, but on other pages, I'm noticing people are not as into it and I'm scared. I'm like, no, don't. I love it so much. Like, keep it around. And
it's also only the first season, guys. Like, you know, give them a chance.
Nobody liked Potomac at first either. And that really like revved up. And all of a sudden everyone was like, how are you not watching Potomac? And
now, don't sleep on Potomac. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm hoping that something big happens with this cast, but I don't know. I told Jenna Lyons, I'm like, you're too good for us. We don't deserve you.
We do not deserve Jenna Lyons.
I am not too good for anything is what she DM'd me back. But I'm like, oh God, you're going to leave after like one season. And I just know you're going to be like, what? I do not need this. You know, I do not need to be ripped apart or whatever they're going to do to her, like humiliated. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't need it.
I feel like after last episode, after the whole like flying first class only episode, Jenna is just somebody we just don't deserve, man. Like, she's just like, that's, you know, I was on painkillers. I have like this. She is a diamond in the rough.
I'm obsessed. Me and you are we need to start a fan club or something. I don't even know what
oh my gosh, I'm so okay with this. Let's do this.
We need to do a fan club. We need to do a whole thing. We need to have like a weekly 30-minute me and you just talking about how much we love her. Like I love Jenna Lyons podcast.
I'm very okay with
our lives. And then just one Instagram page that we just funnel into how much and why we love her. And that has to happen.
Thea, I am so on board with this. Let's make this happen. I am not kidding. Let's make this happen.
I've never about a housewife before. And obviously, I worked for huge celebrities like Julia Roberts and Jennifer Lopez, and I haven't even ever done this for them. I am obsessed. And I feel like there's just these layers that we need to dig. I feel like we need her to like come on and do Zooms. I am so like
my literally, I wish you can, this sounds so racist, but like my little hairs are tingling on the edge of my skin right now. Like I'm so on board with this. It's insane. Like the world.
We could be like, if she's misunderstood by castmates, if she's misunderstood by viewers,
her avenue.
We could be the ones saying, no, this is what she meant by that. That is why she did this. We'll just come on and just dissect it and say, listen, we know her. We know exactly why
we are her. Like, I feel like that girl, like when she talks about Asperger's and she talks about, you know, her mom and what she goes through, what she had to go through being in a quiet little cul-de-sac with her mother. Like, I felt that because I have a brother who has, you know, mental disorder, and I have a mom who like is just so attached to that. Like, I have so many things that I could possibly say that like just relate me to Jenna Lyons. Like, I just,
like in that group with all these women, I'm her. Like, I can pick, you know how you pick, that's me for sure. I'm upward. Yes. I did have some success. I did work in cool industries. I do have, you know, I was an executive in Hollywood. So I have like her background. And then I have the whole, like, I don't fit in though, which when you should fit in, And it is like some physical, you know, I have MS and I have disabilities. And so that keeps me from being cool. Right. And that's the same as she has, like, where she's like, I can't take off my baby. I mean, you know, it's mine's inside, but no, so many things. You and I
probably. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we've gone on a tangent. This is why I'm like making you be on here a lot longer than.
No, but maybe. We're going to start our Jen Alliance fan page, so don't worry about it.
I'm very okay with this.
Talk about it at another time.
Yes, I am so on board with this. Please DM me. Please, like, I will give you my cell. I will give you all my information. I need to be on this.
Someone needs to be doing this. Someone needs to speak for her.
Yes, absolutely. Because she's not going to. She's not going to do this for herself. Moving on. We already talked kind of about Jessel. We talked about a little bit about Erin. What are your thoughts on Erin as a housewife? Because I actually am loving Erin. Her husband has reached out to me on social media and has been very supportive and very awesome and a wonderful human being. Very supportive of his wife, very supportive of his kids, just very supportive as a dad, like just a great, great guy. I'm wondering what are your thoughts on Erin and Abe the Babe?
Oh, I love Erin. I think Erin is intelligent. I think she's very well put together, which I really appreciate in a woman. I'm not a huge fan of the Stop the Steal and the Trump stuff, but, you know, I mean, people make mistakes. She wrote to me in DM. She said, you know, I changed my position on Trump and I made a mistake. So people can make mistakes. That's fine. If she's not just saying that so that she won't be labeled as a Trumper. But my mom was a Trumper. My sister was a Trumper. So I don't judge people for voting for Trump. So I wasn't going to hate her for that anyways. So I don't have a problem with any of that. I mean, I'm not, I would never, and I'm very liberal Democrat, but fine. You vote for who you vote for. I have no problem. My only thing with her is sometimes I felt like she gets a little bit snotty towards the other women. I didn't like how she kind of like was disingenuous with Jenna in that, like, oh, you know, you can tell me this and turn around to all the other girls. But that's part of reality TV. But no, I'm in general, I'm liking Jenna. I'm liking Erin.
Okay. I personally love Erin. I think that she's just, like you said, a little misunderstood. I think that her relationship with Abe is very, very like, old school New York, right? Like where you meet your old soul. You guys just happen to be with each other for the rest of your lives. If they happen to be with one another for the rest of their lives, good for them. Let's get into Uba, because that is a whole other can of worms. She's a treat. She is a reality show treat.
I would like to have her on a lot more. Could we make this happen? I don't see her enough on the screen. She needs to be in there.
Well, my only thing with Uba is that the last few episodes, unfortunately, she did have COVID. So we couldn't film her. We couldn't sit there and be like, let's absorb your lives during COVID. Like, let her be sick, man. Like, let her do her thing. Let her be ill.
Hopefully, later in the season, we'll get more of her.
Yes. Well, we do get a lot more because next episode, we get the bitch of Uba. Like, we get the storm train coming in from Uba, where we put Erin on a timeout. She takes her sunglasses away for 15 minutes. Okay. Like, what the hell is that? So, like, for me, I'm like, dude, I'm not going to take away my friend's sunglasses for 45 minutes and put a timer on it. So this is where she loses me. This is where she loses me.
Oh my gosh, she's crazy. There always has to be one unhinged person on every franchise.
So but we love it. We love it.
Love.
So what are your thoughts on Uba as far as like her for the next episode as far as like that's concerned? Like, are you looking forward to it? Or are you not looking forward to it? Or are you like,
you know, I like drama, so I'm into it. I don't think it's gonna last. I don't think this is anything serious. Just knowing her as a person, she doesn't feel to me like she's going to be getting in any humongous, serious arguments with people. So I'm not worried. I feel like it'll just add a little spice to an episode and we'll move on from it.
Okay. No, I mean, God willing, I hope so. And also Erin makes us believe that they've all moved on. That's a great thing about New York. They all move on.
Oh yeah.
They get over it. And that's a great thing about New York. That's a great thing about the East Coast. You move on. Get over it.
Yeah.
On to the next. Last but not least, let's go into, we went to a diatribe about New York. Let's get into Salt Lake City really, really quick. What are your initial thoughts about the new girl? And that's all I'm going to ask about this.
Monica?
Yep.
Love Monica. You know why I love Monica? Is because what we want from everyone else. We just want you to be real. Tell us everything. Yep. Tell us that you slept with your sisters, brothers, husband, whatever he is, and for 12 months. And that you
18 months. 18 months. This is longer than Scandafall, Thea.
Husband's sister's husband. Is this what it is?
Yeah.
So her husband. Sisters.
Yes, husband's sister's
husband.
I think. I want to say you're right. Husband, sister's husband. I will put a recant on this if I'm wrong, but husband, sister's husband. Yes.
Which is horrible, obviously. Yes. Horrible on both ends. Horrible to her husband to do that to him. Horrible for her to do that to her husband's sister. So I can't imagine she's persona non. I can imagine she's persona non grata for that family. For the husband and the husband's brother, right? No, the husband's brother-in-law. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. The point is, cross the line.
It's bad. Neither to say it's bad.
She's being very, very open about it. So I love her. I say, great. And she, you know, she has the whole other storyline. She's got like a storyline about this. She's got the storyline about her family. So I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. I said last but not least, but God, Mary, you can't get away with this. Mary Cosby's back. How excited are you or non-excited are you about Mary Cosby being back?
Mary Cosby makes me very nervous. I think she's hilarious. Everything she says, I love. I think she's hilarious, but I also think she might possibly be the devil. So I don't want to get too emotionally attached to somebody who I do feel like might be the devil. So I will enjoy her from afar and not have much communication with her and try not to upset her. And because I do feel like she's a demon from like somewhere else that just influences us.
Thea, you are my spirit animal. You are my spirit animal. You are speaking my language. You are all of the things that I love. We have to do another episode together. Please, please, please be on my speed dial. You are, again, my spirit animal.
You're already decided we're doing a Jenna Lyons fan page. It's just going to be devoted completely to her, to what she wears. We're going to have everything. What she wears, where does she put her, how does she arrange her jewelry? Like, we need it all on here. I need to know what she thinks about current events. I need to know, we need a 24, you know, not 24 hour, but we need to spend some time talking about Jenna because she won't do it. And curated by her, with her input, and we need to create this little space where people can come and really appreciate who she is.
Yeah, I 100,000% agree. Guys, this is the Real Bitch of Bravo with Thea D'Souza, like, who's been a pleasure and a wonder and just an all-around gem, and I cannot wait to have her back on. I'd love to have you on weekly, but I know that's a lot to ask for.
I am here for you. Whatever you need, I will come on here. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I love the same things you love. So I like to be around my own people. So it's perfect. I love talking and I love your show. And you have such a great persona around you, such a great aura of like kindness. And I appreciate being around people like that. So I'm here for you. Whatever you need, to do it once a week, I'm here. I'll always find things to talk about.
I love you. You have been amazing, wonderful. Please plug everything and anything that you want to plug right now.
The Real Housewives Ultimate Trivia Book, the unofficial Real Housewives Ultimate Trivia Book. It's on Amazon. It's on, they're selling it at Barnes & Noble. They're going to be at Books A Million. Online, they're going to be at Barnes and Amazon. So they're going to be everywhere on Tuesday the 19th. So you can buy the book. It's going to be great. I'm giving away a couple. Tomorrow night, I'm giving away like a merch package, which has like wine glasses or whatever. I'm giving one of those away, doing a giveaway. And then everyone should have them next week. And I mean, I don't know. They're cool. It has a lot of, I just feel like it's more like a retrospective. It's more like you have this book where it's all in there. So now we all have this thing. We're like, these were the days that we invested in these franchises. They're all in one book. And then you could have it on your, you know, you could play with it, trivia with it, or just have it to know that like this was the real Housewives. So I don't know.
I'm actually really excited. I already have mine on pre-order. Yeah. On Amazon. I'm so excited. I posted on social media, you guys. So please follow Thea D'Souza at Real Moms Are Watching.
Real Moms Are Watching.
An amazing Instagram follow. You guys have to see all of the things that she posts. Memes are incredible. They're freaking sick. Also, don't forget to follow at the underscore real underscore bitch underscore of underscore Bravo. Yes, there's 8 million underscores, but I'm sorry, Instagram sucks and they would not give me the real bitch of Bravo just without the underscores. Also, I am on everywhere you get your podcast, the real bitch of Bravo. Please, 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 guys, buy this book. It is ridiculous. I cannot wait for it to come. I am going to be making all of my next guests. My next guest is Renee Gauthier. She is from Philly and she is a comic and she has written for like everything under the sun. Like what's the Philly, there's a Philly show. Anyways, there's a Philly show that like she wrote for. There's a, like, she's written for like SNL. She's written for everything. She's going to be on next week's podcast. And she is a huge Bravo fan. So I'm going to be interviewing her next week. And I'm going to be giving her all of your Bravo trivia, Thea.
Yay.
When it comes out. I am super excited to give her this Bravo trivia. I told her, I was like, be ready for some Bravo trivia. You better be ready. I'm like, that's the end of the episode, but you better be ready. It's going to be amazing. I'm super, super excited for the Bravo trivia. Thank you so much. I cannot wait. I can't wait for our podcast to come out. I can't wait for like everything to come out for us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I can't wait to start our Jenna Lyons podcast and whatever will come along with that. We might be cleaning out her closet. We might, who knows what will come of this. Basically, we just worship her and we will do whatever she needs us to do to make her life better.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? That would be my goal, is to get into the Jenna Lyons. Yeah. I want to get into Jenna Lyons' closet. I want that closet. I want, like, I can barely afford anything, but if I can afford one Jenna Lyons original, I'd be set for life. So super, super excited. Thea, thank you so much. You are amazing. And I love you. And I am so grateful.
I love that you had that moment where we really saw the real you. And yeah, it's a lot to be able to share like that. So you are really, truly amazing.
Yeah. Love you. Guys, this is The Real Bitch of Bravo. We out with Thea D'Souza.
My book.
Your moms are watching. Buy her book. Buy the book, guys. Buy the book. It is amazing.
Unofficial Real Housewives trivia book. And it's just 500 pages of all the franchises. I got them all in there. So
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I'm so excited for it to come into my front door.
It's really quality. It's really thick. It's good. There hasn't been anything else. My editor said to me, there has never been anything like this. I'm like, okay, we'll do it. So, and then I have a Vanderpump one coming next.
Wait, you have a Vanderpump one coming? Oh my God.
It's going to be the Vanderpump.
Oh, no, I got a good move. Wait, can I have an advanced copy of that? Because I want. I want that so bad. Like, let's talk about that later.
Very far.
Talk about that later. All right. Okay. Guys, we are out. Real Bitch Bravo. Bye.
Okay. Love you. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, thank you so much for being on.